Swang case and in the Henderson case, Anderson State versus State XRL Lance, 419 Tennessee 176. In those cases, along with Henning versus State, and I think Volume 1, an anonymous case, they cite in Swang case, those cases are cases where a defendant was allowed to withdraw a guilty plea, not a motion for the trial, but was allowed to withdraw his guilty plea and change his plea to a not guilty plea. They cited Brooks versus State in that, those matters too. All of them, of course, with the exception of Henderson and Swang, were cases where no final decision had been made as far as punishment was concerned. Henderson was on a petition for writ of habeas corpus, and they still allowed the court to set aside the guilty plea and allowed him to plead guilty and then go to trial. As stated in Owens versus, that's Herman R. Owens versus Blake Russell, which was decided in an unpublished opinion on October 4, 1968 by the Criminal Court of Appeals in Tennessee, it states that the question of the voluntariness of a guilty plea is never foreclosed while any part of the resulting sentence remains unexecuted, which means that under our procedure, either on a petition for writ of habeas corpus, post-conviction act, while the court has it under advisement, after the trial, the judge can set the guilty plea aside and allow him to go to trial on not guilty plea. But we're not faced with that situation in this case. Indictment number B-16645 charges the defendant, James Earl Ray, with the offense of murder in the first degree in the murder of Dr. Martin Luther King on March 10, 1969. The defendant, James Earl Ray, while represented by an attorney of his own choosing, Mr. Percy Fullman, and by court-appointed attorneys, Mr. Hugh Stanton, Sr. and Jr., came into Division 3 of this court and before the Honorable W. Preston Battle, then judge of this court, entered a plea of guilty to murder in the first degree as charged in this indictment. A jury was impaneled, sworn, evidence of witnesses presented, stipulations heard, and a plea of guilty to murder in the first degree was entered in the presence of this jury. The jury approved the guilty plea and accepted and approved the agreed-upon state's recommendation of 99 years confinement in the state penitentiary at Nashville, Tennessee. The defendant, James Earl Ray, was sentenced by Judge Battle. He waived any right to a motion for new trial and appeal as shown by the minutes of this court for that day. That's exhibit number... three. And exhibit number two. Judge Battle signed these minutes. On March 31st, 1969, Judge Battle died. On April 1st, 1969, two letters purporting to be from the defendant, James Earl Ray, and dated March 13th, 1969, and March 26th, 1969, respectively, were filed with the clerk of this court. On April 7, 1969, a petition entitled Amended and Supplemental Motion for a New Trial, and incorporating therein by reference, quotations, letters asking for a new trial, especially that communication addressed to Judge W. Preston Battle, dated March 26, 1969, end quotations, and quotations again, he hereby amends and supplements said letters to the effect that he moves this honorable court to set aside his waiver, his plea of guilty, and his conviction, and grant him a new trial pursuant to and in accordance with Section 17-117 of the Tennessee Code annotated. End quotations. Seven exhibits were attached to this amended and supplemental motion, which were withdrawn this morning before this hearing. This motion was further amended on May 19, 1969. It is obvious from the wording of the petition that the defendant and his privately employed attorneys, Richard J. Ryan, J.B. Stoner, and Robert W. Hill, Jr., intended for this petition to be a motion for a new trial. Such was their statement in open court. 17 reads as follows. New trial after death or insanity. Whenever a vacancy in the office of trial judge shall exist by reason of the death of the incumbent thereof, or permanent insanity, evidenced by adjudication, after verdict, with prior to the hearing of the motion for new trial, a new trial shall be granted the losing party, if motion therefore shall have been filed within the time provided by the rule of the court, and be undisposed of at the time of such death or adjudication. No rule of court was entered in this case. On May 13, 1969, the District Attorney General for the 15th Judicial Circuit for the State of Tennessee filed a motion to strike the, quotations, motion of the defendant James Earl Ray entitled Amended and Supplemental Motion for a New Trial and any incorporates therein purporting to be a motion for a new trial, end quotations. Five exhibits were attached. The motion to strike, as shown on its face, and attached exhibits, as well as the accompanying memorandum of authority, is based on the theories, one, that there is no motion for a new trial from a guilty plea, and two, that the defendant waived in the right he had to a motion for a new trial and an appeal. The state filed on May 23, 1969, a motion to strike the amendment to the motion for new trial, based on the same grounds as cited in the original motion to strike. Each party has filed a memorandum of authority. The motion to strike has come on to be heard on this, the 26th day of May 1969. The state is represented at this hearing by Executive Assistant Attorney General Robert K. Dwyer, Administrative Assistant Attorney General Lloyd A. Rhodes, and Assistant Attorney General Clyde Mason. The defendant is represented by Mr. Richard J. Ryan, Attorney at Law of the Memphis Bar, Mr. J.B. Stoner, Attorney at Law from Georgia, and Mr. Robert W. Hill, Jr., Attorney at Law of the Chattanooga Bar. All are privately retained counsel of the defendants on Tuesday. The statement has been made that I, as successive judge, cannot hear this motion or petition of the defendant, which purports to be a motion for a new trial, and not being able to hear a motion for new trial in a case disposed of by another judge, I cannot approve and sign a bill of exceptions in the case. The further contention of the defendant, Ray, is that without the approved and signed bill of exceptions, he is being denied his constitutional right of appellate review without fault of his own. In answer to these questions, I find that, one, I do not, as a successive judge, have the right to hear a motion for new trial or approve and assign the bill of exceptions. Allison v. State, 189 Tennessee 67, Darden v. Williams, 100 Tennessee 414, Dennis v. State, 137 Tennessee 543, O'Quinn v. Baptist Memorial Hospital, 182 Tennessee 558, and McLean v. State, 186 Tennessee 401. Two, the defendant, Ray, had a constitutional and statutory right to have his case reviewed in the appellate courts, and relief would be awarded if he was deprived of such right without fault of his own. Dennis v. State, Supra. State XRL Terry v. Yarnell, 156 Tennessee, 327. Tennessee Central Railroad Company v. Cheddar, 176-39. I emphasize the phrase without fault of his own.